Hello and welcome back to episode 4 of Panels Full of Hunks, where we are covering issue 4 of Greg Pak's 2025 Supernatural comic book. I'm Chris. Let's get into it. This is another kick-ass issue. I'm really digging that the comic book is taking things. I mean, these are all really short issues, but I really like that they're taking visuals that the show couldn't necessarily do, you know, for budget reasons, and is just throwing them at the wall here. I mean, last episode was the shortest issue thus far, but Sam and Dean fought skeletons using swords. I mean, they themselves had swords and the skeletons also had swords. I mean, at least I think. It doesn't matter because in my brain they did. They were sword fighting skeletons, and that's just about the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's all I've ever wanted from Supernatural. I need you all to know. I don't think this is a surprise, but I have a dumb, dumb baby brain, and I just love a good sword fight, especially if it's against a skeleton. I mean, man's mortal enemy. We all know this to be true. Man's mortal enemy is the skeleton. It's the reanimated skeleton. We're not talking zombies. We're not talking vampires. It's just skeletons, just bones that move around on their own and wield weapons. It's the ultimate foe of mankind. Anyway, the cover art for this episode by Clayton Crane is dope as hell. First of all, looking at all the alternate covers, there's another cover by Edgar Messias, who's done a lot of the art in the series, of Dean fighting a werewolf, and it looks fucking kick-ass. The colors on it are really, really dope. But the one that they chose for it to be the main cover by Clayton Crane is out of control. It's the off-brand Impala. I don't know if they're just not calling it the Impala because they're not allowed to, but it looks like the Impala. It was obviously Sam and Dean inside of it, just like going off a jump. Like the Impala is airborne, and behind them is a gigantic eldritch alien squid monster with a million octopus arms and a million eyes and a bunch of mouths chasing them, and it's the sickest shit ever. I know we criticize Supernatural so much for all of the bad guys just being guys in suits after a certain point, and I get it. That was just the nature of the beast. You know, if we want this show to still be on the air, we gotta have our budget and we gotta make it work. But getting the opportunity to see stuff like this. I mean, episode 2 of season 1 of Supernatural, we saw a monster. We saw the Wendigo. And it was very, very cool. it was a little silly, but like that was 2005, and they set this bar that they almost never really hit. Every once in a while, you'd get to see a monster. Am I mistaken? Did the Wayward Daughters, Wayward Sisters? Fuck, I always forget what it is. The spinoff, did that have sweet monsters that they were like goblin guys running around, right? And I feel like the Winchesters did too. It's all so long ago now. It's been a while since I've seen those. Either way, the comic is fulfilling on that promise. It's fulfilling on the thing that I've always wanted to see, and I really appreciate that. Especially since it's always very cool designs, very cool artwork. That's just like I can imagine, you know, Sam and Dean facing off against these things in the TV show, and it's fun. But yeah, okay, so to start off, we get our cold open. Again, just lovely that we have cold opens in this. 1 week ago, we see a woman at a library. The library is about to close. You know, she's sitting in the dark. The lights are getting turned off. She's so into what she's reading that she's just sitting there in tears. And as they're, you know, putting out the last call, hey, all readers, come, the last call for readers, the library's closing. But this one woman is sitting there. She's really not listening. She's just reading her book. And then another woman appears nearby in the dark. She's an older woman. She's a little strange. And she's saying to our reader here, hey, wouldn't it be nice if you could stay here and read forever? And she has this kind of sinister look on her face as she says it. And it seems that our reader here is ill. She says that, you know, going home, the only thing that waits for her is, you know, pain and medicine and maybe some ice cream. There's really nothing for her to look forward to, you know, once she leaves the library. And as they're having this conversation, which seems innocuous enough at first, the strange woman seems to transform, and we see the shapes of like beasts appear behind her as she seemingly hypnotizes the reader into staying, who we learn in a moment, her name is Janice. I should have just looked forwarded my notes like three lines and stopped calling her the reader. So Janice is this woman who's just trying to, you know, chill at the library. She doesn't want to go home, and she's being haunted by a strange ghost lady. But yeah, so Janice seemingly is hypnotized by the strange woman who appears before her. And the next thing we know, a librarian comes to find Janice, only to see her corpse lying on the ground. And he calls 911 and he reports the death. And we hear him say yes again. So it's clear that this is not the first time that this has happened at the library. And meanwhile, this strange woman watches from the shadows. Cut back to now. The boys are on the road. They are following up directly from last issue, where their car seemingly has a mind of its own. They went to, you know, go get it repaired, and then it ended up being available for them before the repairs were actually done. It's like the car is leading them from place to place somehow. And now they find themselves driving down the highway, going 70 miles an hour with no control, no brakes. They can't get out of the car. You know, this is a nightmare. This is a nightmare scenario. But Sam tries to kind of calm them down. He's saying to Dean, like, listen, if this car, it led us to that necromancer, you know, that's in the previous issue. Like, the car took us there. The car was repaired, or it broke down so we would stop there, and then repaired itself so we could follow them. Like, maybe the car isn't trying to crash or kill us, because we've been in the car for a while now, and I think it would have happened already. Maybe it's trying to take us somewhere. Maybe the car is chasing something. And Sam is like, yeah, sure, Sam. Or maybe it wants to feed us to werewolves or giant spiders or use our blood to open a portal to hell. And I gotta say, I gotta side with Dean on this one. It's clearly got a plan for them, but they can't just assume it's a good plan. Even when, like, Castiel and the angels show up. It's clearly not a good plan. It's just a plan. And yeah, we all know most plans involving the boys are not good plans. So, but the car does, it begins to pull off the highway, and it's starting to slow down finally. And once it's slowed down enough, Dean is finally able to get the door open, and he dives out, only for the car to immediately pull to a stop like a second later in front of the library. What we just saw in the cold open. The car comes to a stop, and Sam is able to just calmly get out of the car. I love the way that this series has handled the brothers' comedy so far. It's not over the top. It is very comic book like. It's just fun. Like, of course, Dean is gonna, like, tuck and roll and dive out of the car right before it stops, right before it comes to a safe stop. But he just, I don't know, I just love that. And then, of course, Sam just calmly getting out a second later. And so they're now at this library, and Sam assumes that they must be here for a reason. And in fact, when he looks at the necromancer from last issue, he looks at his copy of Frankenstein that Sam's still hanging on to. He sees that it came from this library. So it's reasonable to think that when that necromancer was learning his spells from a different book, that he probably got that book here too. And Dean is like, okay, yeah, that's sick. We can go in there, we can check this out, but, like, we got to deal with this car because it's, like, it's in the handicapped parking spot. Only as he says that, for the car to, like, smoothly back up and then park itself into a regular spot. And Sam says, well, the car is pretty funny. Dean is like, yeah, but I don't like when they're funny. I don't like when the ghosts or the haunted objects have a sense of humor. That's messed up. But Sam thinks, okay, well, at the very least, forgetting about the fact that this car drove us here or anything else that's going on, a library with connections to the supernatural could help them perhaps find answers about Mom or Jess or anything. And it's as they are going inside that they realize, oh shit, this place is a crime scene. For once, they didn't read about this in the newspaper. They're actually just stumbling on to a case. And when they peek inside the window, they can see a woman sitting in there. And it's Janice from the cold open, the woman who died. As soon as they get in there, the EMF starts going nuts. I think Dean says something along the lines of, like, oh, she's hot. And Sam is like, chill out, Dean. He's like, no, I mean, like, hot on the EMF. The EMF is going nuts. This place is warming like crazy. And it turns out it's not just because of Janice, but the entire library is filled with ghosts. And then they encounter that strange old woman from the cold open. And Sam is just, like, right up front, like, okay, this is, like, a library filled with ghosts. I'm not beating around the bush here. What, can you show me the collection where the necromancer got his spell book? Because I want to see all that shit. And the old woman says, no. And Dean at this point is just like, okay, fuck this. I don't know what's going on, but I don't like it. The rock salt shotgun comes out and he says they're just going to deal with the ghosts. And that's when this strange woman reveals, no, you're not dealing with ghosts. You're dealing with something else. And then we get this full page image of this enormous, I guess, eruption that bursts forth from behind her. And we see this gigantic ghostly green monster with a dozen limbs and eyes and mouths. And it's very similar to the creature that we saw on the front cover. And it's unlike anything that we have seen before in Supernatural. And Dean fires rock salt at it, but it does nothing. It's as Sam's running away, he says, oh, you know, they're the boys are taking cover after this giant monster disappeared in front of him. And Sam is like, what is that, an octopus? And Dean says, no, it's Lovecraftian Cthulhu crap. And Sam says, that's not real. Dean says, I hate to break it to you, Sam, but that's what people say about most of the stuff that tries to kill us. But again, I like that in these last two episodes or issues, even though Sam is the reader, he's the studious one, it's Dean who knows about Frankenstein. He knows that Frankenstein is the doctor, not the monster. He knows about Cthulhu, whereas Sam is like kind of in the dark about any of this like fictional horror stuff. But before they can even deal with this Cthulhu wannabe, they get attacked by a werewolf. And then like a page later, it's a golem or something, or this actually might be Frankenstein's monster. And this strange woman appears before them again with all these monsters around her. And she tells the boys that they can't win and they should get out of the library or they're gonna die. And it's here that Dean quickly starts to realize, hold up a minute. These are just illusions. These aren't actual monsters. Cthulhu, Frankenstein's monsters, all this shit, these are fictional. These are fictional creatures. The reason that they can't hurt the monsters is because they're fake. And because the monsters are fake, it also means that they can't hurt the boys. And suddenly it's like all the tension is gone. And the strange woman who's been here this whole time, she looks up their names. They did introduce themselves as the Winchesters earlier. So she looks into them. She sees what happened to their mother and to Jess, you know, because newspapers are available at the library. So she breaks out the microfiche, apparently, the ghost microfiche, so that she can look up what happened to Mary and Jess. She tells the boys a demon is responsible. Like, now that, like, we realize she's not going to scare them off, we're just going to have a talk here. They've encountered a lot of relatively reasonable ghosts and ghouls in these issues. They tell her, hey, yeah, demon is responsible for killing our loved ones. And she starts to sympathize with Sam, telling him he should really just, you know, hey, why don't you pick up a book and relax? Let life's worries fade away. And this is kind of what we saw in the cold open. And right away, Dean catches on. He's cautioning Sam to resist this. Don't play into her hands. And as this woman is kind of trying to hypnotize Sam almost, he asks her, like, who she is? Why is she here? Why is she doing this? And she explains that her name is Mrs. Matsumoto. She was the head librarian here, and she died in 1964. And after she died, her spirit hung around. Just, you know, oh, let me finish the book I was reading. And then, well, I'm still here. I'm still clinging to this. Like, I might as well keep reading. And eventually she just stayed in the library. And as time went on, she started convincing others to stick around too. People who were happiest in the library. Now, I don't know if that means that she was like actively killing them, or I don't know. Cause the cold open was unclear because Janice seemed very ill, and I don't want to say that she just like died of her illness suddenly because of the ghost, but whatever. I mean, Mrs. Matsumoto, I don't quite trust what you're up to here. But she says she's trying to keep people who are happiest in the library here, just like Sam. And then an illusion of Jess appears in front of Sam, and he seems to be completely entranced. It doesn't even look like Jess. I was a little confused by this because she has like a totally different hair color. But Sam is entranced by Jess. And Dean is trying to stop him. He's like yelling at Sam to resist it, but Sam is seemingly either ignoring him or unable to hear him. The librarian hits him with the, Dean, please. This is a library. Shh. And as Sam sits there talking to Jess, she's reading a book about the sunk cost fallacy, about holding on to something just because you've already invested so much into it. And it seems okay. This is quite the strong parallel to Sam and Dean's lives. Should they just let this stuff go? I mean, the stuff with Jess, it's like that happened, you know, a couple months ago. Sam is desperately looking into it, but their lifelong quest has been to find out what happened to Mary. Even if the opportunity came up to just live normal lives and say every monster was going to go away, would they even be able to take it? And I know that they did an episode of this in season two. It's a fantastic episode. But I wonder at this stage in their lives, would Dean be able to let go? If there was no more monsters to kill, would he be able to let go of his pursuit of the thing that killed Mary? Even if hypothetically he was told, you know, that thing is gone, would that be enough for Dean? Would he be able to give up that because he has sunk his entire life into this? And of course, sunk cost fallacy, that's what we're talking about here. The boys are just, they've given so much to this cause. Is it even possible for them to walk away now? And as Sam is sitting there talking to this ghostly, you know, apparition of Jess, it's not actually Jess, clearly. It's just, it's been conjured up for him. But yeah, to everybody's surprise, Sam actually resists this. Even though he's sitting there talking to Jess, he says he never read to escape. Like, this reading was not escapism for Sam. He read to learn. That's why he went to Smamford University, so he can learn how to build bombs and make salt rings around ghosts or whatever the hell he was doing. He always wanted to learn something. He's not the type to just be able to chill and read Lord of the Rings, even though I'm pretty sure he is like specifically name dropped doing that in the series. But that's not important. He likes to learn. He likes to gain something from reading beyond just entertainment. So this trap isn't really going to work on him. And as he fully now like resists this librarian's trap, he says that he is ready to see the library's special collection. The final image of this issue is Sam sitting there with like books floating around him. He's just being really witchy. He's ready to do some witch shit. But I really like that, like how proud Dean is in this moment, and he looks at Sam and he says like, yeah, he really is special, like, or the librarian does, one of them says it, but Dean seems so proud of his brother. He was ready for Sam to do the desperate stupid thing and just embrace the, oh no, that's a ghost, he's gonna fall back into it, he's not gonna be able to, I'm gonna have to fight my way out of this. But no, Sam just fully resisted it, and I love that Dean is proud of him for that. That's our big brother right there. And yeah, that's the end of it. So we leave on a cliffhanger. Is Sam going to learn some more witchcraft? What are we doing here? I'm excited. The car, the haunted car, led them here. So what's this about? What is this building towards? Just another fun issue overall. A lot of really great. There's always a really great dynamic between the boys. Again, they have such a great understanding of the relationship, of the dynamic of Sam and Dean, of the humor of the show. They just nail it. That's been my favorite thing. Like, are the plots necessarily like mind blowing? Is this going to be like necessary reading for anyone between, you know, oh, you're rewatching the show, well, you have to read the comic, it's the perfect supplement? Like, no, not necessarily, but it just captures the essence of the show so well that it's, if you want more, here you go. It's there for you to read. And it's just been a delightful read. I hope we get more issues. As far as I know, there's five now. I think that's the run. I'll look into it more. I don't know if they're doing anything else or if it's even still ongoing. I don't know if it's going to be an issue six. But either way, I have really enjoyed the road so far, and I'm excited to read more. So thank you, everybody, for listening. It feels like the first episode I did of this was so long, and then these were all really short. I mean, they've been light and breezy episodes focusing on, especially these last two, we've gotten a lot of action and a lot of big, like, full page panels of like a cool art piece of fighting skeletons or fighting a Cthulhu monster or something. So, and I'm not complaining, art, you know, it's a visual medium, so I'm excited about that. It's really weird to podcast about comic books because it feels like I should be talking more about the art, but like, I'm not an artist, I don't know. I mean, I'm not an actor either, so I shouldn't have ever been criticizing anyone's performance. But if we limit ourselves to that, then we're not going to be able to have much discourse about anything. But no, I mean, I'm having a great time with these. I hope you guys are enjoying them too. And I guess until next time, hang tough. That's not ever a thing that we've said, but I'll catch you in the next one. Goodbye, everybody.